Robinhood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
My name is Rhiannon Leo Jamison. I'm from the Northeast Millerton Library.
Hi, and I'm Margaret Hask. I'm from the Cornwall, Connecticut Library.
And we're going to talk about books that trigger or spark the imagination.
Right, yeah.
It was an interesting prompt because it was one of those prompts when like someone asks you, what's your favorite book? And your mind just goes blank.
Right, yes.
And it really took me a little while to start thinking of some titles because my knee-jerk reaction is to go to children's titles, but I wanted to have some adult books on there too.
Right. So what did you come up with in terms of children's books?
Oh, well, for me, my favorite children's book author, which she's more of an illustrator, is Susie Lee. Mm. She is an illustrator from South Korea, and she works with other children's book authors. So some of her books have words, but most of them are wordless picture books.
Ah.
And they're like little works of art. They're usually monocolored or very sparsely colored ink drawings of this little girl. And it makes the book, it transforms the page. Like, there's not a page structure. There's one that's one of my favorite called Shadow, where you have to turn the book on its side. And the top half is the little girl exploring her closet. And the bottom half is the shadows cast in the light hanging in the closet. And it slowly morphs into what she's imagining as she's playing.
Oh, goodness. That sounds wonderful.
They're just so good. She has another one called The Wave, where it's a little girl playing on a beach and the wave chasing her back and forth, and it splashes and does all these other things. But it's just the way the images move across the page, it defies the structure of a book.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love looking at them.
And what's the name of that author again?
Her name is Susie Lee.
Susie Lee, I'll look for her. Mm-hmm. I don't know her.
Yeah. She's one of those illustrators, too, that when she's working with other authors, if you search for her, you'll be like, oh, that's right. I know that book. Mm-hmm. usually when she's working with other authors, too, they tend to be more colorful, but I specifically really just enjoy her own work. You could just see them hanging in a gallery and just walking around and just following the story. It is a book, but it doesn't have to be. Did you have any children's books on your list?
I came up with a couple. I too didn't, nothing clicked immediately because I think a lot of books trigger the imagination. I think that's what books do. But so I sort of looked around and asked some people and did a little bit of research and came up with a couple that I thought were interesting. One book that came up frequently is The Secret Garden by Frances Hodgson Burnett. And, if you recall, this is about a girl who's, in an unhappy situation living in a dark, gloomy house, and then she discovers the secret garden and a cousin who spends all day in the garden. And it sort of does two things for me. One is it gives hope that even in what seems like really unhappy circumstances could actually turn out to be pretty wonderful and magical. But you have to be open to that, which this little girl was in this story. And the second thing is that I think this idea of a secret garden physically has inspired a lot of people to design gardens that have these little hidden rooms or not really secret places, but so you everything isn't immediately accessible to you. You have to do a little bit of work to get to a particular garden. And I think that's kind of inspirational.
Yeah.
And then another that actually surprised me, but I took them out and looked at them, and I have to agree, is the Diary of a Wimpy Kid series by Jeff Kinney. Of course, that's a fairly new series, and I think why these books might spark the imagination is because they're sort of irreverent and they're funny, and they're structured in a way that is unusual. There's plenty of copy, plenty of words to read. But then there are these amusing little drawings throughout the book as well. And I could see a kid, perhaps a reluctant reader, in fact, really enjoying this irreverence and the little drawings, the little line drawings, very simple line drawings, that would really trigger the imagination in some kids.
It's one of those books that you can always just recommend, but you don't have to think about it too much.
Right, right. Surprised. Yeah. But I think it's true. I think they might trigger the imagination.
Yeah.
And then I, in terms of most of the books, I think when I was, you know, looking for inspiration for these comments, mostly they were fiction books that people recommended as being inspirational. But I have one that I picked up actually at the Kent House of Books called The Handbook of Forgotten Skills, Timeless Fun for a New Generation. Do you have that book?
No, I haven't heard of it. We might have it, but I don't think we do.
It's, you know, it has a lot of things in it, like using a compass, tying a knot, growing tomatoes, writing a thank you note, just a lot of things that, like in stone skipping, I'm leafing through it right now, stone skipping is another one, how to quilt. And it seemed to me that a lot of people do have these skills, but they don't really think about them. And I think looking at a book like this might inspire somebody to say, "Oh yeah, I used to love to do that. You know, why don't I do that some more?" Or think of something else. As I was talking about it with a friend this morning, she said, "In like hopscotch," and I thought, "Oh yeah, hopscotch. You know, that used to be everywhere. It used to be on every playground. It was." Painted, you know, so all you had to do was find a little rock or a button or something, you could play hopscotch. So I thought that was kind of inspirational, too, in terms of thinking up fun and interesting things to do.
I didn't go the nonfiction route, and now hearing you talk about this book, I was like, oh, that's so true, that I, you know, seeing, you know, finding a book that either, like, reminds you of something you used to do or gives you a whole new skill is definitely sparking your imagination and what you can do with it.
Right.
I went the other route and I stayed mainly with fiction because that's usually what I enjoy. And I always feel like I mention Frederick Bachman every time I get a chance. I love his book so much. One of his earlier ones was My Grandmother Told Me to Tell You She's Sorry, which is a fun title to say to people. That one was lovely. I think you're aware, but just in case anybody else isn't, it's about a little girl whose best friend is her grandmother, and the grandmother tells her stories, these fantasy tales, and they go to this world together in their dreams. And then within the first 50 pages, grandmother passes away. So it's this young girl who I believe is maybe 8 years old, dealing with that and not being able to go to this world anymore that her grandmother created for her. And she ends up going on almost like a scavenger hunt, for lack of a better description, to right the wrongs her grandmother felt that she couldn't help people. So there's a weird
title.
It's all
hence the title. That's what the title is.
So it has this weird, it's all based in reality, but because it's a little girl, some of the stories that grandmother told her kind of bleeds into reality, and you don't know, because she's 8 years old and she's narrating the book, if it's happening the way she's describing, or she's reliving the stories of her grandmother. I picked a kind of a dark one called The Midnight Library by Matt Haig, which a lot of people had read, and it's a little dark in the beginning. But it's a library where this woman is able to choose a different memory and change one thing in it and able to see how her life would be different. And so it kind of sparks you thinking, it's like, oh, well, if I did this, you know, maybe this terrible thing happened to me, but it sent me on this path. And, you know, you're not necessarily grateful that that happened, but if it didn't happen, you wouldn't be here, and that kind of story. And it can be a little sad, but it's, definitely kind of get you thinking about like how small events or what you think is an insignificant event can have a big impact on your life.
That's very interesting. Really nice summary of that book.
Yeah.
I again, looking for inspiration for this, a lot of people recommended a lot of early science fiction, or sort of early science fiction. And the one that came up a lot was A Journey to the Center of the Earth by Jules Verne. And I can see why. I mean, that was really a groundbreaking book and really interesting. And I think reading that might really inspire people to think about how we learn and what we know, and then how knowledge is gained, you know, through time. So that's one that I really looked at. And a lot of sort of science fiction books, I think, are really creative and really inspire creativity. Then I also I looked up a couple of other things. There's a book that I didn't know called The Enlightened Passenger, The Flight That Changes Everything, by Corey Poirier. Do you know that book?
No.
I didn't know it at all, but this is... So what happens in this book, and it is fiction, is this: so this guy gets on a plane, and he's full of himself. He's very successful. He's everything. The guy he sits next to in the plane is a person who has a very vibrant, full, wonderful life, but not the kind of material success as the guy who, you know, sits down with him. So the guy who has the full, vibrant life but not material success tells stories about people who have made wonderful lives for themselves in various ways. He tells 10 stories about people who are successful in that way of being successful. So I thought that was very interesting, and that would be inspirational to people who are thinking about, you know, maybe their life isn't quite working for them right now. You know, what's a change I could make, you know, to make that happen. And then finally, the one I pulled, which is I didn't know anything about either, is a book by Peter Thiel called Zero to One. And basically he talks about the fact that we may think we've invented everything that could be invented, that technology has done everything it can do. And his argument is not at all. There's just so much more to learn and do. And that he's very optimistic, which is nice to hear, very optimistic about the future of progress in America and a new way of thinking about innovation. So I thought that was a nice book to read, too, if you were looking for inspiration.
Yeah. You don't hear too often lately positive technology books.
No, you don't. So I thought this was a nice one to throw in the mix for our conversation.
Yeah, I think we're coming near the end. So if you want to talk about, two librarians talking about books. We could do this for a long time.
We could do this for a long time. But I should talk about some events we have coming up, because we have, in August, we have 3 author talks, which I'm very excited about. Let me get to my calendar here. So on August 1st, we're having Adam Van Dorn, who's an eminent writer and scholar, give a talk about his book, In the Founder's Footsteps. He traveled through the 13 original colonies and visited historical places, and because he's also an artist, painted pictures of those places as well. And it's a beautiful book, and it's just wonderfully interesting. And he's spoken before about this book at the library, but because of the anniversary of the country, we thought we'd have him again to do it. And then we have. And that's August 1st. On August 8th, we have Francine Prose talking about her latest book, 5 Weeks in the Country. And it's a story, it's a reimagined story of a true event of Hans Christian Andersen visiting Charles Dickens in the country. And the visit doesn't go well. So that's very entertaining. And then on August 29th, we have Kurt Anderson, who you may know, he's like on TV a lot. I mean, he's a writer and a commentator. Mm-hmm. And he's written a book called The Breakup about a couple in 2045 who are breaking up their marriage. But in the meantime, the country, America, is also broken up.
Oh.
So it's that whole story about sort of everything breaking up. But it's not as dark as you might think.
So that's
what we have going on. What do you have going on?
Oh, August 1st, we're partnering with the movie house and having a free community showing of The Bad Guys.
Ooh.
At 4 o'clock. Yeah. For those of the kiddos that are participating in the summer reading program, if they haven't already, make sure they bring in their bingo cards or the summer reading program sheets, because the first time you come and turn it in, you get a free ticket to get a small bag of popcorn. So it's like, So we're encouraging people to sign up for that. It is free. You know, we like to know how many people are coming.
Oh, yeah. You got a plan. Yeah.
Yeah. And then on August 15th, we have Donald Sosin and Joanna Seaton coming to perform the music to Lauren Hardy's silent film shorts.
Oh.
Yeah. If you, they're local musicians, and if you haven't gotten the opportunity to see them yet, I highly recommend it. This concert, because our musicians are in the audience as well performing, we are only able to fit half as many people as we normally can, so it tends to fill up pretty quick. But if you haven't experienced it, it's wonderful. It's a completely different experience to watch these movies with someone performing the sounds and the music and the little, you know, little boings and all that kind of stuff.
Right, the sound effects kind of thing.
Yeah. So I recommend it. Always very excited to have them when they're able to come. And then on August 19th at 6 p.m., we have our monthly supper club. It's a community potluck with a theme. This month's theme is kind of fun. It's sour and tart. So what we're asking is, make whatever you want to make, bring in a drink, we're happy. But we're encouraging people to have like a little sour element. So it could be, or a tart element. So you could have like rhubarb or strawberries, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone gets very creative with it. And I'm always kind of like, it's kind of exciting to see what they're going to do.
That's sounds fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. My favorite is breakfast for dinner. That was a great one. But, of course, if you don't like the theme, just make whatever you want. It's
right.
More about hanging out. That's pretty much what we have planned for August. We're starting to gear down summer reading, so we also have our escape room. And summer reading technically goes to the end of August, but as it gets later in August, the programming slows down. We're just giving everyone an opportunity to turn in their tickets for the raffle. Well, I think that's it for today. It was lovely talking to you.
And we'll talk again next month.
Sounds good.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut.